There was a man who wrote a book called The God Part of the Brain, Doctor. And his theory was that there is a part of our brain that virtually demands that we worship something. And if you go to, for example, I mean, here in the Philippines, there are some areas that man almost hasn't been to here in the Philippines, some islands where you go and inevitably they worship something, the sun or something. So you can go to parts of the world, perhaps in Brazil, perhaps in other remote areas of the world. Inevitably, you find these natives worshiping something. Do you think there is a part of our brain that demands this?
Well, I personally don't. I think that it has to do with our consciousness rather than our brain. And I tend to separate the two because it seems to me that the brain is not necessarily the source of our consciousness. Rather, it may be the vehicle by which our consciousness interacts with our immortal bodies. But I don't take the brain and the biochemistry of the brain to be the explanation of who we are as human beings, of what our consciousness is all about. I think there are deeper explanations that we could find by delving into the reports of the mystics and the esoteric traditions within the various religions. I think that there is much more to us as human beings than simply as chemical machines that are driven by neurophysiology and processes in the brain. I think we have to look much deeper than that. And that's not a view that's very popular in science at the moment, but I think eventually as we begin to explore consciousness more and more in the century, we'll come to find that it's a necessity that we look elsewhere for what causes our own consciousness rather than simply looking to the chemistry of our brain.
So you don't feel that you can define consciousness, or do you?
Well, I think consciousness is something that we have inherited from and share with the intelligence that stands behind the universe. Sir James,
in other words, God.
I would say God, yes. The intelligence, the supreme intelligence, transcendent intelligence, call it God.
So it's an oversimplification, but in a sense then, our consciousness equals the God within us, or the God.
I think that's right. I think basically our consciousness is the same as that of God's, except of course it's been attenuated by the fact that it has to deal with and reside in mortal bodies. So it's just a tiny, tiny fraction of that infinite consciousness. But I think it is the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's even some evidence that this is we're going along the right path by considering consciousness to be something like that, something we share with the intelligence behind the universe. Aldous Huxley wrote about his experience in the 1950s with the drug mescaline. He had one very intense experience in which this drug, which is the same one used by the Indians in their ceremonies, Native American ceremonies, he used the drug to put himself into an altered state, and then he tried to describe what that world was like, because he was in a different reality for several hours. And he wasn't, of course, entirely successful because he had to use the words of one world to describe the feelings in another. His explanation was that he viewed the brain as a filter of consciousness rather than as a source of consciousness. And by that, I mean that he was assuming that perhaps his consciousness was tuned to that of a universal one, that of a creative intelligence behind the universe. And when he took the drug, it put a crack in his mental filter. He was able to see things and experience things that he wouldn't ordinarily be able to because his brain was not filtering out that vast amount of consciousness that is the sea of all consciousness. And that was a very interesting idea that suggested to me that maybe there's evidence in the behavior of autistic savants. You know, autistic savants are people who sometimes can't do the most simple things like tie their shoes, and yet they can do the most amazing things that you wouldn't expect a human being to be able to do.
Yes.
I'll give you some examples. Leslie Lemke was an autistic savant who played Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 after a single listen without having had a piano lesson. Daniel Tammet cannot tell left from right, but he can multiply two huge numbers in his head while talking to you. Moreover, he recited the value of pi to 21,514 decimal places. Now, this is an amazing thing. I couldn't imagine memorizing the value of pi to those number of decimal places. And by the way, it goes on to infinity. Pi never stops. But 22,514 decimal places. And he did that not by some kind of mental calculation, as he reported, but by seeing forms in his head. He visualized shapes in his head, and they told him what the next value of pi was. And then lastly, Kim Peek, who was the model for Dustin Hoffman's Rain Man. He can read two pages simultaneously of course, one with each eye. He has perfect recall of 8,000 books, and for recreation, he memorizes telephone directories.
Now,
these are things that I don't think, or I would say, a human being can't do except they've been done. And the common factor among these three people and all autistic savants is that they all suffer some form of brain damage. And so this is very neatly dovetails with Aldous Huxley's idea of the brain as a filter rather than a source of consciousness. The autistic savants, in my view, may be showing evidence that they're tuning in to a universal knowledge that we all have access to, except we have to filter out most of it to exist in the everyday world.
Now, is this something that you contend would be unique to human beings? Or if we eventually develop artificial intelligence, if we get enough memory, enough speed, processing speed, whatever it is that it takes, do you think we will ever actually develop an artificial intelligence that possesses consciousness? Or is that something that is in God's territory, and no matter the speed in the storage, it will never happen?
Well, that's a tricky question, because it seems to me there is the possibility that if you manufactured an artificial intelligence that was sophisticated enough, interesting enough, capable enough, that could serve as sort of an artificial life form, and the universal intelligence might decide that, indeed, that's an experience worth having, and therefore consciousness could enter into that artificial intelligence the same way that I think it does into human beings and animals and so on. So it may become the host of consciousness, but the question is the consciousness coming from within that machine, emerging from it, or is the consciousness coming from the outside deciding, gee, this is a very interesting experience to have, let me experience what it's like to be an artificial intelligence in this universe?